How you doing tonight? All right. Most of you said good. A couple of you made sound effects instead. That's fine. We don't have to use the English language. We can do sound effects. How you feeling? Give me a sound effect. That, I like that better. That's better, isn't that? That makes you feel there's more passion behind the sound effect. And that only works in a setting like this. It doesn't work like if you go home from church tonight. Your mom's all like, how was church? You're like, woo! Like, it doesn't work as well as it does here. Here it works. Like, it seems completely logical that he asked a question, we should answer with a sound effect. It works. All right. As Pastor Jonathan said, I have 5 kids. I'm just going to talk for a few minutes. I have 5 kids, all of them girls, except for the 4 boys. And when we go... When we go to the driving range, sometimes we go to the driving range to hit golf balls with me and my four sons. When we go to the driving range, it's like speed golf. Like it's there's nobody practicing to get better. It's just there's so many golf balls that we're gonna get to hit as a family, so everybody hits fast to see just so that they can hit the most. We were in line at the driving range about 1.5 years ago, and while we're in line, my youngest son, he was 9 at the time, might even have been 8, but he was right around 8 or 9. And he goes, Dad, can I have a dollar? I was like, I'm paying for the golf balls here. We're okay. He's like, no, I need a dollar for the ice cream truck. And so he said ice cream truck. So I stopped for a second, and I didn't hear the ice cream truck. But you know how the ice cream truck is a certain frequency that only elementary school ears can hear. Like, it's like a dog whistle. Like, elementary school students can hear the ice cream truck when it's like 9 miles away. They're still like, I think it's coming. Yes, it is. It's coming this direction. So he was having that moment where he heard it. I sat there and waited for like 45 seconds. Finally, I heard the music. I'm like, it's true. It is here. He's like, I know. It's exactly 300 feet away. Like he was ready to go. So I gave him the dollar. He goes out and he gets the ice cream. The rest of us, we get our golf balls. We go out to the driving range. It's speed golf, right? Everybody's hitting as fast as they can. He's eating his ice cream and he's seeing the golf balls disappear. Now he's torn. So he doesn't know what to do, and he's trying to eat the ice cream in a hurry. It's kind of hot. It's Florida. He sets the ice cream down for a second so he can hit some golf balls. He comes over. He hits some golf balls. As he's hitting the golf balls, I watch him. He looks back over the ice cream. The ice cream's melting. Like, what is he going to do now? So he hits a couple golf balls, runs back over to the ice cream, picks up the ice cream again, starts eating the ice cream. Golf balls are going down, man. It's like they're disappearing. And he's trying to eat it fast. Ice cream's melting. Now his, the hands sticker. Like he's all messed up. The ice cream is getting on his hands. Again, puts down the ice cream. Now he's got ice cream residue on his hands. Now he picks up the golf club. It's all sticky. Now he's trying to hit some more golf balls. All while I'm watching it cracking up. Now he's torn back towards the ice cream, like, because it's melting and he doesn't know what to do. And so puts the golf club back down, goes back over, trying to hurry up and eat the ice cream. And I'm just cracking up the whole time. I'm watching my 9-year-old son with these torn, like his heart is being torn in two. His heart is being torn between what the father had brought him here to do and what frequency had lured him away in the meantime. And as he's torn between what the father had brought him there to do and what frequency had pulled him away, now he's miserable. And now as he comes to try to do what the father has called him there to do, now there's residue from that which lured him away, and it's making even this hard because his hands are all sticky from the ice cream. Check this out. We only have so much passion that we get to spend. You got to understand something. Everybody's just got so much passion. You just can't have passion for everything. You're just going to have passion for some things. Now, some of you say, I'm not a passionate person. Yes, you are. We're all passionate for something. And you can a lot of times tell your passions by looking at your time and by looking at your money. That's how you can tell a lot about your passion. And you can see what you're passionate about. A little thing up here about some of the social media stuff, and some of you are cracking up laughing because you saw yourself in it, because those are some of your passions, because those things are getting tons of your time. The problem is the Father put you on this planet for a reason. Somebody say amen. God put you on this planet. God put you in your school. God put you in this church. God put you in this city for a reason. And God has some things that He would have you be passionate about. The problem is Satan knows what frequency to get to your ear. Satan knows exactly what song to play and from what direction to play it to make you kind of look away and go, hey, wait a second, maybe I want to pursue this for a little while. And it starts to steal away the passion that you should have for God. I do like this theme that we're going into for next year's Speed the Light called Limitless. And I'm going to talk to you tonight for a few minutes about gaining limitless passion for the things of God. If you do have a copy of God's Word or something that has a Bible in it, has anybody got any old school Bibles on paper? Amen. That's how they used to make them. You should get one. They're cool. Does anybody have like a digital something that you can get a Bible going tonight? That'll work. It doesn't count in God's eyes, but tonight we will let it count. All right. Got to have a real Bible. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. This is what the Word of God says. Are you there with me? Luke chapter 12, verse 34. It says this: "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." Let me read it one more time. "For where your treasure is, there your heart." If I could just insert the word, maybe passion. "For where your treasure is, there your heart, there your passion will be also." If we could bring that down just a little bit. That was a subtle fade in. Amen. Luke chapter 12, verse 34. "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." I'm going to talk for a few minutes just about how to get your passion level on the things of God. How to get limitless passion for the things of God. First thing you're going to have to do is this. Number one, if you're taking any notes or anything like that, first thing you're going to have to do is you're going to have to set. S-E-T. You're going to have to set. If we go back a couple of verses in Luke chapter 12, after Jesus had said, "For where your treasure is, there your heart will be also." A few verses before that, in verse 29, this is what he said. He said, "Do not set your heart on what you eat or drink. Do not worry about it. For the pagan world runs after all such things, and your Father knows that you need them." A few verses earlier in verse 22, he says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, therefore I tell you, do not worry about your life. Don't worry about what you will eat or what about your body or what you will wear. For their life is more than food and the body is more than clothes." Jesus was saying this, don't set your heart on those things. Colossians says it this way: set your heart on things above where Christ is seated. Everybody hear me for a second. Because you didn't even know you could set your heart on anything. You thought you just had to follow your heart. Some of you, you looked across the room tonight and you saw, some of you, you looked across the room and you saw some girl and you thought she was pretty and you just like, oh my gosh, I'm in love. Like the moment you saw her, you're like, I can't believe the feeling. Like you were feeling goosebumps and tingle chills and like your hair was kind of, like you just knew, like you never noticed her. Like it was the light of the gym hitting her in just that certain way and the candlelight. Oh my gosh, there's candlelight. How could I be expected to withhold my feelings for this lovely creature that I looked across the room? You looked across the room and you made eye contact with her. She rolled her eyes at you. You picked him up and you rolled him back to her. I mean, this was like amazing. This is love. And listen to me. That's how some of you live your life, man. It's just like whatever your heart kind of feels, like whatever you... Yeah, I guess I'm passionate about this now. Well, I guess I'm passionate about this now. I guess I'm passionate about him now. I guess I'm passionate about... And that's just kind of like, you just think like you're a victim and you just... There's somebody, maybe your friends told you, hey, just follow your heart. Hey, if anybody ever told you to follow your heart, they told you wrong. Because Jesus didn't say to follow your heart. He said, set your heart. In other words, you don't run around following your feelings. What you do is you tell yourself what you're going to feel positive about. You make a decision, I'm going to set my heart on things above, not on earthly things. I'm not going to set my heart on earthly things and start to care about earthly things too much. Instead of that, I'm going to set my heart on the things above. I'm going to set my heart on the things of God. And as you start to set your heart on the things of God, it's amazing. You start to care about the things of God. Check it out this way. As you invest, you care about the things that you invest in. Your heart, look at me guys, look at me real quick. Your heart, it goes to the things that you invest in. Right now, some of you care about things that I don't care anything about. And it's not that your things are bad and mine are good or whatever. It's just that you've invested some time in some things that I haven't invested my time into. You've invested some money in some things that I haven't invested some money into. Some of you in this room, there's some music artist that you think is the greatest person on the planet, and I don't even know who they are. And you're passionate about them. Why? Because you've invested in him and I haven't. That's all. And check it out. Jesus said, where your treasure is, your heart's going to be also. So as you start to even, check this out, even invest even money into the things of God, even your money, and sacrifice even some of your resource into missions, guess what? You'll start caring about missions. Because apathy is a dangerous thing. And some of you in this room, you feel apathetic towards some of this. Just like, I know, man, all we ever hear about is people lying and buying stuff. I just don't, what's the big deal? I don't care. And the best way to combat that is for you to set your heart on what God cares about. Start to invest in that. A guy that many of you have never heard of, his name is John Wesley. He's basically one of the fathers of modern-day Christianity. In the 1700s he lived and just made an incredible impact on Christianity. But listen to me. By the end of his life, he was basically giving away 98% of his income, living on 2% of his income, giving away 98% for missions and for people who were poor and people who were hungry. How do you get like that? How do you start to invest like that crazy of an amount, 98% of everything you have? Well, in his life, he had traveled over 250,000 miles on horseback over a period of 40 years, preaching the gospel, preached 40,000 sermons, wrote 400 books, knew 10 languages at 83. He was annoyed that he couldn't write more than 15 hours a day without hurting his eyes. At 86, he was ashamed because he couldn't preach more than twice a day. He complained that he had to lie in bed till 5:30 in the morning. Over the years, he endured hardship. His message was rejected. His strong preaching against alcohol and the other evils of his day was, he was beaten and robbed and spat upon, ridiculed, mocked, and all throughout his life, he keeps pouring himself out for ministry. Why? Because he had set his heart on what God cared about. He invested in it. It became his life. You got to set. If you're taking notes, write this down. How are you going to get limitless passion? Number two, you're going to have to sell. I'm sorry, number two, you're going to have to seek. Pretend I didn't say sell, because you're not supposed to know what number three is, and now you know. The whole night's ruined. Number two, seek. A couple of verses in Luke chapter 12, right before Jesus talks about that, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. In verse 31 and 32 of Luke chapter 12, Jesus says this. He says, but seek his kingdom, and all these things will be given to you. Do not be afraid, little flock, for your Father has been pleased to give you the kingdom. Seek ye first the kingdom of God. Your strongest association in life should be the kingdom of God. Like the things of God and your own Christianity and your own spirituality, that should be what you seek more than anything else. The Bible says to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and then all these things will be added unto you. You can't be involved in Christianity one night a week. You can't be a Christian whenever it's convenient for you. That's not Christianity. It's kind of an all or nothing deal. We've kind of created this new version of Christianity where instead of us following Jesus, we invite Jesus to follow us. And we run around and we just do our thing and we do what we always do, what we always want to do, what we're going to do. And we don't even let anything ever influence that. And we say, Jesus, if you want to come along, that's fine with me. Jesus kind of worked it a different way. He said, if you want to come after me, you'll have to deny yourself. Take up my cross and follow me. Seek him. And when it comes to some of these missions drives and what God may call you to do for Speed the Light this next year, you'll never hear really what God is speaking to you until you get to the point that you're seeking after that voice of God with all of your heart. When you do, it's scary sometimes what God asks. I remember we were on a missions drive in our church. We were actually, I think, that year buying maybe a bus for a missionary in India. We were raising money, and it was towards the end of the year. And my daughter, she was probably like 14 at the time, maybe 15. She came to us, and she said, me and my wife, she said, Mom, Dad, I don't want any Christmas presents this year. Just have that all go towards that bus for India. And there I am, like, the youth pastor in me is like, yes, that's awesome. And then the dad in me was like, no, that's not going to work. Because I'm like her father, and I jumped fast forward to Christmas morning. It's exactly where I jumped fast forward to. And I jumped fast forward to all her little selfish brothers open up presents going, this is awesome. And there she is in the corner, like with nothing. That's what I fast-forwarded to in my brain. So there was a huge part of me that was like glad that my daughter was seeking after the things of God enough to come in and make this request to us. But as her father, I was like, I can't do this. Until I remembered that her heavenly Father won't let this sacrifice go by unnoticed. And I remembered that her heavenly Father said, seek ye first the kingdom of God, and when you do, all these things will be added unto you. And he can repay her way more than I ever could repay her for making that kind of decision. So you start to seek after God. God may ask you to do some things that may make some people around you scratch their head and try to figure out what in the world's going on in that kid's brain. But you're understanding this, that as I seek after the kingdom of God in my life, God's going to take care of everything else. You're going to have to set your heart on what God cares about. You're going to have to seek after the things and the kingdom that he seeks. And finally, you're going to have limitless passion in your life. Number three, you're going to have to sell. How did you know I was going to say that? Sell. Luke chapter 12, verse 33. One verse before, Jesus says, for where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Verse 33, he says this. He says, sell your possessions and give to the poor. Provide purses for yourselves that will not wear out, a treasure in heaven that will never fail, where no thief comes near and no moth destroys. I like this verse because Jesus kind of demands action. This isn't philosophical now. This isn't like, you know, and maybe a good thing that you could sort of just give it away. You know, because we sing those songs all the time. I give myself away. Like, we can sing them all day long. We don't really, I mean, I don't know that we really mean it, but we'll sing it. Jesus here was kind of like getting serious. He was like, this kind of meant it. Go sell your possessions and give it to somebody in need. One rich young ruler comes up to Jesus at one point, says, I've done a lot of good things. What else must I do to get salvation? Jesus doesn't tell him to tithe. Jesus doesn't tell him to give a little bit to missions. Jesus says, sell everything you have, give it all away, then come follow me. It almost seems unfair. But Jesus will call us to do things that he knows we need to do in order to experience who he is in our life. You got to sell. You got to sell out. Luke chapter 12, a couple verses after that, says, from everyone who has been given much, much will be required, and to whom much is entrusted, much of him will be asked. Here's what that basically means, guys. For us to sell out, it means something more than it does for somebody else. You realize that you are rich, and there may be some in this room who goes, I'm not rich. In the world's economy, in the world's standards, you're rich. You live in still the richest country in the world we have been for about 100 years. 3 billion people on this planet live on less than $2 a day. You spent that today on nothing, a candy bar. That's what somebody's living on for the day. If your family or your parents or you make $25,000 a year, it puts you ahead of 90% of the world's population. If your family makes $50,000 a year, puts you ahead of 99% of the world's population. So much has been given to us who sit in this room, and now much is required. So for us to sell out means we should make a huge impact. And listen to me, I am not diminishing the incredible impact that this church and this youth ministry has made in missions. All I'm saying is God could be setting us up to blow all that away in the future. That's all I'm saying. And we can't sit, look back and go, well, we'll just do it in just a little increase. We'll just incrementally increase a little bit every year. What if God's calling for like a double up year? What if God's calling for a triple year? What if God's calling for much because he's done much in your life? And your faith should be higher. And your faith should be stretched. It's easy to nod our head and say, yes, we should give money to Ecuador. Yes, we should do this. Yes, somebody should come together. Yes, somebody should raise $1,000. It's easy to do that. It's another thing to step out and start doing it, to actually live a lifestyle that sells out. That's where the sellout happens, not in this room. In a moment, we'll take a card and fill it out, but that's not really where the sellout happens. That's not really where we buy into this. It's going to be on the random Thursdays and Fridays, Mondays and Tuesdays. It's going to be some Saturday in June when you still have your heart set on what God cares about, where you're still seeking after the kingdom of God. You're still sold out. what God called in your life. A girl I heard of from West Virginia, her name was Patricia. She was in a service similar to this. God so moved her that she had $3,000 saved up for a car. In that service, God spoke to her. She turned in that $3,000 in that night. Went without the car. Changed her lifestyle to support the voice of God in her life. And here's the thing, you're already given to something. Everybody's given already. Everybody's passionate about something already. It's just you may have to redirect and redefine what you're giving to. Because you may be giving to fashion. You may be given to the entertainment industry. You may be giving to music. You may be giving to food and snacks and whatever. And so just may need to change. And church, let me tell you this. Look at me real quick. It's one thing to raise money for a cause like this and do that, okay? Raise thousands of dollars. But listen to me. Don't let money raised take the place of your money given. Can I say that again to you tonight? Because that's God's word for you. Don't let money raised take the place of sacrificial offering that you give from your resource. Those are two different things. You got to sell out to this. My sons and kids play sports, and I've coached them through the years in different sports. One Saturday, we had a baseball game. Two of my sons were on the same team. I was coaching that team. It was the morning before the game, and I was at Walmart and was checking through. I had my card, and I drove by. I saw some Gatorades. I thought, you know what? Later on, my sons are going to be thirsty. I'll buy them Gatorades for the game. Put it there on the counter. Bought it with the other stuff I was buying. Went home. Put the Gatorades in the cooler. Time for the game came. We in the dugout. I pointed to the cooler and I said to my two sons, Noah and Jonah, I said, hey, there's Gatorades in there for you guys. They were two different colors, so they knew whose was whose. Game's going on. They, you know, whatever. Noah had a couple drinks of his. During the game, I'm screaming my head off at like all the players because they're all doing the wrong thing, like running the wrong direction and all. You know, like screaming and I'm hot and I'm getting tired, you know, whatever voice. And so I look down and Jonah's Gatorade's still there. He hasn't even cracked it open yet. So I grab it and I open it and I take some drinks of his Gatorade and I put it back in. A couple seconds later, he comes by and he picks up his Gatorade. And when he does, he picks it up and he looks at it and he notices that someone's gone from it. And he looks at it and he goes, looks up at me. He goes, did you drink some of my Gatorade? And like for a second, I really thought I was in trouble. Like I honestly got scared. I mean, I know I'm his dad. But I was really scared. I'm like, oh my gosh, he found out. And it just like freaked me out for a second because I had done it. I was guilty. I felt guilty. That's what the Lord, I'm like, yeah. So he's like, did you drink some of my Gatorade? I felt guilty at first. I felt like I was in trouble. And then it hit me. I was like, wait, I guess that's his Gatorade. All I know is that I'm the one that provided the Gatorade. I started thinking about that. Actually, I was providing that Gatorade before he was ever even thirsty. It was like morning time and he was like in bed, like he's just like chilling at the house watching cartoons, and I'm thinking about later on that my son's going to be in need, and I'm paying it right now, purchasing what's going to be provided for him, and I provide it for him. I'm thinking about him before he even has a need. I'm providing for that need, and then he's going to look up to me with his big old blue eyes and say, did you drink my Gatorade? And so I said, yes, I did drink your Gatorade. Matter of fact, I bought that Gatorade. I bought it before you even thirsty. I bought it for you. I provided it for you. So if I want to take all of it, I could take all of it, but I left most of it for you. But yes, I did drink some of your Gatorade. And he wasn't so moved. You know, like, I don't think he felt the spiritual connotations that we feel in the room right now. He was just like, oh, like he's still mad. Okay, fine. Like, whatever. And as long as we see everything we have is ours, and we get moments like this where somebody's trying to say, hey, listen to God and what maybe you can give away. Go, you want me to give away what's mine? I mean, I'll go and ask some other people for money. You want me to give away what's mine? No. I want you, listen to me, to give away what was God's all along. That's what selling out in this thing is. It was always His. Every good and perfect gift comes from God. You're not your own. Even you yourself, like you're not, you were bought at a price. Everything you have is His. And He's asked you to be a steward of it. And the fact is, some of you in this room, you could do incredibly more than you've ever done before. And this could be your year for missions commitment to speed the light. What I'm going to do right now is I'm going to ask everybody in this room, I'm going to ask you just to not talk at all. I'm going to ask you just to close your eyes, and I'm going to pray. I'm going to pray for you in this room today. Holy Spirit, I thank you for your presence here. And I pray, God, for each and every student in this room. I pray for each and every leader in this room and parent and businessman and businesswoman. I pray, God, that you would speak to us. I am not interested in what a person can manipulate another person to do. But Holy Spirit, I've asked for your anointing. I've asked for a prophetic anointing upon my life tonight that you would speak, not that I would talk about God, but God, that you would speak through me to these students. And we take a moment right now and we hear from heaven. We just set our hearts on you. We seek the kingdom above everything else. And God, we just tell you tonight, we're ready to sell. Maybe that's literal for some of us. Maybe it's a game system. Maybe it's clothes. Maybe it's whatever. But it's certainly figurative for all of us that we have to sell out and be willing just to give you what's already yours. So I pray you'd speak to us. Use us to advance your kingdom. In Jesus' name. Where your passion's going to be. You're not just passionate about whatever you're passionate about. You're passionate about whatever you decide to be passionate about. Tonight, what you need to say through an exercise like this card is you need to say, God, you have my heart. God, my heart belongs to you. And how will we know that? By where your treasure is. Where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. On everybody's table, there is a Speed the Light card. And I want you to get that out right now. And I want you to be very, very deliberate. I want you to be very, very spiritual at this moment. I want you to take this very, very serious. But I want you to take that card and why don't you start by just filling out the name and address and that portion first. And save the top for the last. The very top says, as God enables me by faith and my personal commitment to help evangelize the world by providing for our missionaries, I commit to giving. And then there's an amount there to Speed the Light. And then you can put 2013, 2014 as your year there for this mission season. After you fill out that address part, I just want you to kind of pause for a second. And just kind of hear from God on what maybe the amount that you can do. Maybe God would be speaking to you about doing $10 a month. Maybe it's $50 a month. If you want to write down a per month thing, you can do that. If you want to write down a per week thing, maybe God's speaking about some sacrifice you can make or a job that you could take on. And you know that you could come up with $30 a week. You can write down a per week or a per month or for the year, however you want to do it. Whatever is easiest and most obvious for your life. Cool side effect of this is you're going to start caring and being more passionate about the things of God because of the investment in the things of God. It's crazy. You're going to be a better Christian because of what you do with your resource as a result of a decision like this. If you're still writing, go ahead and do that. If you're done writing, I want you to do me a favor and bow your heads and close your eyes. Once you get done, I just want you to bow your heads and close your eyes all across this room. And students, I need you to know something. As important
absolutely nobody talking. I'm like, I'm 3 minutes and I'm done. Give me 3 minutes of absolute just be real careful right now with the presence of God. As important as it is what we do with our resource, understand this. God first and foremost cares about the position of your heart. God first and foremost cares about the level of relationship you have with Him. Some of you in this room, you're outside of relationship with God. The last thing I or any leader in this room or would ever want is for you to make some financial commitment if your life isn't first committed to Christ. If you're in this building tonight and you're outside of relationship with Christ, I just want to include you in my final prayer and the last thing I do tonight. And I want you to pray as I pray for you as well. So nobody looking around, just heads are bowed and eyes are closed. But if you're in this room, you say, you know what? Pastor Johnny, I'm outside of relationship with Christ. I just know that if I were to die right now, I wouldn't know what to say. If I stood before God right now, before I had a chance to pray, I know I'm outside of relationship with God and I need tonight to commit my life before I commit my resources to Him. If that's you, before I pray, why don't you slip up your hand so I can see, so I can pray for you. Hold it up real quick. I'm outside of relationship with God. Yeah. Anybody else? Yeah. Yeah, I'll see you. I just want to pray for you. Anybody else? I'm outside of relationship with God. I'm making a decision to give Him my life. Anybody else? Yeah. Thank you. Anybody else? I'm outside of relationship with God. Thank you. All right, you pray. If you lift your hand, or if you're afraid to lift your hand, but you know your heart's not right with God, you pray too. And worship's team's going to lead us. Pastor Jonathan's going to come. But let me pray for you. Father, thank you for your word. It's always enough. And I just pray for these students, especially those tonight that lifted their hand, just signifying a need of a greater commitment to you. I pray anything and everything that has made it difficult for us to live for you, I pray it would be just defeated tonight. We come against sin. I come against anything that would block the power of God moving in our life. I pray your grace, your mercy would come in right now. Every single soul as we dedicate our lives to you. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. God bless you.